Humble and Fred's Interesting All-Canadian Ale. You know, when interesting comes along, my friends, I simply must have some. I like to gather it up in a metaphorical embrace, gently drizzling the interestingness all over my body. Should you pour Humble and Fred's Interesting All-Canadian Ale on you? No, but if you want to be more interesting, I would. Attempting to transition to interestingness? Do as the interesting do. Go yoga-y, like Humble. Be charming until the yoga people insist you be less charming. I don't know if you know this, but Fred has a PhD in the flatulence. But even the fragrance of his back end is interesting. And Dan may not be as interesting, but he is very clumsy. The Dan falls off his chair and bumps his head every day. This is Dan Normal. Humble and Fred's Interesting All-Canadian Ale. Go to the Stonehooker Brewery and get some. And warm the inside of your belly. Smear it, the interesting, all over the inside of you. Humble and Fred's... Humble and Fred's...
Okay, that was everything was going good until I, until I played the wrong thing. Okay, here we go.
Humble and Fred's Interesting All-Canadian Ale, available now with free delivery anywhere in Ontario. Order yours today at stonehooker.com.
Yeah, we had that whole plan where I was going to play the jingle as soon as that finished, and then I screwed that up. I'm sorry.
Well, this show is imperfect perfection. You know that, Howard. That's what we're all about.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I find this jingle very infectious. Once I hear it, I can't stop thinking about it. Or it kind of, what do they call that, an earworm?
Yes. I agree. Same thing. Whenever I hear it, now I'll be singing it all day again today. Yeah. Especially that part. It's got to be
Well, what can we say? We had a welcome back, everybody. We'll get right into it. If you, it's been a couple of weeks since we recorded. The last show we did was the day of the Humble and Fred party at Stonehooker, and it was so much fun. Thanks to everyone that came out. It was about 100 people. Pictures are up on our Facebook page. We'll put up more pictures. We promise.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Good crowd, great evening. Johnny Barefoot provided the entertainment, and it was just, it was such a nice touch to the evening. And, you know, the smell of the pizza oven and the joviality of it all, it was great.
Yes, the joviality.
It really was.
The joviality. Yes. You know why they call him
Joviality? Is that a word?
No.
Is that a word?
I think you're thinking jovial.
But jovial? Joviality? Okay, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I know.
I wouldn't have said anything ridiculous. Except you said, "Is it a word?"
Why beyond a few letters and a anyway.
Do you know why they call him Johnny Barefoot?
Because he plays barefoot.
Isn't that what a simple explanation? He likes to perform without shoes and socks. So there you go.
Can I be honest? When I first heard his name and having not met him, I thought he might be indigenous.
I know.
Is that horrible? Honestly, I thought,
no.
Maybe he's an indigenous fellow.
I did too. I thought he was one of our First Nations.
Yeah.
I did.
And he wasn't. He was actually barefoot.
All the time we were saying, and we'll have a performance from Johnny Barefoot. You know, grew up in Saskatchewan, there was, you know, there were people whose names were Johnny Barefoot. Mm-hmm.
How dare you make that observation? How dare you go there? Anyway.
So many things. And I wanted to just begin with this, and we're going to start the show officially in a second. But whenever I've told people, including yesterday, I was talking to our buddy Lumby in France about the party. And I said, you know, the highlight, so many highlights. But yes. One of the highlights was Tanya Hutton. And Tanya Hutton is a Hundy P. Been a big supporter of ours. And when we all showed up there, Tanya was sporting the I'm Too Fat for Dan Duran t-shirt.
And,
it was so good. It made me laugh, and it was such a great picture. And Dan, what did you think when you saw this T-shirt?
Well, I thought, you know, it was quite hilarious. I went on, the second I saw her, I went up and hugged her, and when we started taking pictures together, and it was, you know, it's great when people are sort of on board with the humor. And,
no, you know. Hugging her, was that difficult for you?
Because of your aversion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a good sport, and it was just a highlight. Everyone got their picture taken with Tanya.
Yeah. Yeah, what a great sport. I mean, that really was a surprise, but a great one.
And as I said to Jeff, what I loved about it, and you guys will agree, it's just so in the Humble and Fred spirit. You know, so many listeners there, they all have the Humble and Fred references, and it's like, you know, we've created this little wacky world where those people seem to like to participate. And I said to Lumby, I said, you know, I saw that T-shirt. And I'm like, that is just so on brand for us.
Yeah, I'd say. And it, just other, other conversations with, you know, people that listen to the podcast. Just, how do I say it? Sort of what we mean to them as part of their day. It's really touching. You know, how much they know about us?
No, I know.
Like, it's just offhand comments that come back to you, and it's like, wow. Yeah.
It really did contribute to the joviality of the event.
Oh, the joviality.
The joviality. I got to say.
Sounds like a nice word.
The joviality.
Let's coin it.
Exactly. Let's coin the joviality of it all. There were so many pictures taken, and we're going to post them. I promise. We've posted a few of them. We'll post some more. I got to say, for me, though, I was actually looking at some pictures this morning, going through some emails for this week. Mm-hmm. Dave Powery, another great guy, along with the Baldwin sisters. They're all hanging out together.
Yeah.
He took some pictures of us. Now, of course, Dan Duran. He's very photogenic. Goes without saying. But I was just looking at some pictures of me. Like, I don't know. I walk around thinking I look a certain way. And then I see these pictures. You know, I'll be honest with you, it made me nauseous. It was like, is this how you walk around now? Is this you? You looked great, by the way.
Dan, yeah?
No, you, Joviality.
Oh, right.
Dr. Jove.
See, what you're saying right now, I can say.
No.
But anyway, go ahead.
No, you looked great. Your beard looks cool. And you got the funky glasses on. Yeah, he was just an idol. There was a picture. There's so many pictures of the three of us where I just wanted to cut myself out of the shot. It's just gross.
And by the way, Fred did make you stay the whole time, and you were fine the whole
Fred
time.
Fred didn't make... That's bullshit.
No, I think I did.
All right. Is this the bit we're doing?
No. I'm just saying every so often people would say... Oh, I'm surprised Howard's here. And then I'd go, and a couple of times I said to you, you know, you're staying, right?
No. Okay, I'll go with it. All right.
I did. I said, you're not leaving.
Oh, you mean at that night or prior to it?
No, that night. A couple of times I said that to you.
I don't remember that. No, I don't.
You come up to me a couple of times and said, oh, okay, you're leaving. No, you're not.
Okay.
At least twice.
No, that's not true.
Okay. Did I just pull that out of my asshole?
Well, let me smell it.
And again, I'm not saying that made you stay. It was a bit. It was like a kidding.
Oh, I see. We're talking about a bit. Yeah. Yes. But I stayed. I was one of the last people to leave. But back to what Dan said. Fred didn't make me stay. I was always going to stay, Dan. It was the prior to the thing was the bit. That was the bit where I was only going to... But very many people mentioned Howard stayed past 8:27. But that wasn't the biggest takeaway for me of what I did. Do you want to describe it or should I?
Yeah, it was crazy because we got up on... Johnny Barefoot was playing, and we went up and said, hey, Johnny Barefoot, can we say a few words? And he said, of course, fellas, you can say a few words. And we said a few words, introduced a few people. And then between us, between the stage and the picnic table area, there was this sort of roped off thing, like, you know, rope sort of divider.
And part of the roped off, there was two ropes, and there were lights twirled around the ropes.
A little lantern like things. And it was funny because as we went back into the picnic area, my foot caught it, and I almost fell. And I thought, ooh, that was close. And just as I'm thinking that, I look over at you, and it completely got you. Like, you went for a spill.
Oh, yeah.
But it was amazing what you did.
Well, so I think out of the corner of my eye, I might have seen you stumble.
Right.
But I tried to, and it wasn't that they were so high. It wasn't. And I have an explanation. I'm going to tell you what happened, and then I thought about it, why it happened. So I go to put my leg over, and it gets caught in between the two of them, and I could sort of feel myself falling in slow motion in front of 100 people. And I went right down to the ground, but I had a pretty good-sized glass of fake beer in my right hand, and it never dropped. So
no.
I sort of went down with my right hand up in the air, and I fell down to the ground, and and then I stood up and I was like, yay. Like, it was like I stuck to the landing. And
it was amazing. Yeah, I think that's all your working out and your yoga and everything.
Yeah.
You're marvelous.
This is what Tanya Hudding had to say. Humble, congrats on being the first and sober guy to eat shit at the event. There's a great picture, actually, of it. I've just done it, and then you're sort of pointing at it.
Right.
That just happened. Anyway, it was embarrassing, but I'm glad. Hey, listen, it's also all part of the Humble and Fred legend. It would have been better, actually, if I just, like, had knocked my head and knocked myself out. And just lay there, you know, fully, you know, covered in beer. Anyway.
Yeah, it was a great evening, and and it is. It's humbling, you know. It's almost to the degree of embarrassing sometimes when you talk to people, and again, they bring up incidents or stories or references to your family, your friends. It's wild on how they listen. Like, we know people listen to podcasts differently than they listen to the radio, but wow. But I mean, over the years, we've had that, even when we worked on the radio, and that was part of our battle to wanting to speak more and play less music, because we knew there was a connection with the audience that we could have. And boy, it's really being played out these years, is it not?
Many agreements to you and to yours. And, you know, that's not the last thing we're going to say about it. But we're just going to, we have to start the show. I just realized it's been 13 minutes and we haven't officially started the show.
Yeah.
And we have a big announcement coming that will be a part of the Dan Duran introduction. So, Dan Duran, here we go.
This episode of Humble and Fred is being broadcast to the world from our state-of-the-art Humble and Fred studio in Toronto, from our Brampton facility with an inviting pool, and from Peterborough at Lisa's dining room table next to trendy black sticks in a vase. I'm Dan Duran, broadcasting live from the Ibrahim Shum Zoom Theater, and brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, and our newest returning sponsor, Kelsey's Original Roadhouse, home of the Humble and Fred End of Summer 13th Annual Podcast Party. And now, here are two men who had many glorious moments on their summer vacation and endured happiness for so long that they couldn't wait to return to the grumbling and complaining. They're back, and they're Humble and Fred.
Yeah, da, 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 da. You got that almost right. It's not the 13th annual. It's the 13th anniversary. But there was, listen, lot going on there at the beginning of the show.
Imperfect perfection.
Perfection. Thank you, Dr. Jobel. Listen, that's it. September 25th, we're doing it all again. It's going to be similar but different. It's going to be similar to the Kelsey's Christmas party, except we're going to do it at night. It's, I think, the first time we've ever done this, recorded the podcast in front of an audience in the evening on the 25th of September at the Kelsey's in Burlington. We'll give you the details And starting right now, let's crank it up again. Just send us an email. We'd like to know how many people are going to arrive. Just write a subject line, something to do with Kelsey's end of summer podcast, something or other. And we look forward to seeing you on the 25th in the evening at Kelsey's Roadhouse in Burlington. And by this time tomorrow, I'll have the address.
Yes, and again, if you were at Stonehooker, you're more than welcome to come to this one. If you couldn't make the Stonehooker event, I know there was a lot of people that were disappointed. Here you go. You get a second shot. And it should be fun. Did we not do evening podcasts at the Horseshoe and at Gretzky's?
Yeah. And we did, yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, we did.
It's just, again, every so often I think I'm losing my mind, but...
No, we did.
Sometimes it's you.
No, it is. Sometimes. Yeah, yeah, we did it. Our very first one. We started in October of 2011, and I'm not even sure Dan was around for this, but no. we did our show a couple months later in the evening at Gretzky's. But I'm trying to remember why. Did they give us money or
Howie. I don't know. I can't remember the reason. Gretzky's is gone now, too. Hey, it's sort of weird when you walk by there. But
so it is. And then we did our 10th anniversary. Was it our 10th? It was the 25th anniversary of the show. We did that at the Horseshoe while we were still working at SiriusXM. That was a huge deal. That was a few hundred people.
Yes. It was something.
So for one of the few times we've ever done it, which is just to record the podcast in front of a live audience, and we'd love you to be that live audience at Kelsey's September 25th, sort of end of summer. It's only a few weeks away from our 13th anniversary of recording this podcast. And we're very excited to have Kelsey's back as part of our supporters, our sponsors. And we'll talk more about Kelsey's later, but go ahead and start entering right away. No limit. We just need to get an idea of how many people are going to be there for seating and that type of thing.
Yeah, they have an outdoor patio, too. And who knows, September 25th, the way the weather is now, it might be a nice, hot or warm, comfortable evening to enjoy part of it outdoors.
It's a good thing we're not back to the grumbling. It's a good thing we're not doing it today because it is. It's 16 degrees. Shit. It's just it's cold, overcast. Leaves are falling. It's bullshit.
Yeah, it's crazy. I got home yesterday and did some yard work, and it was humid, and I was just sweating profusely. Is that a word, profusely?
Yes. Yeah. Yes,
oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. I get all nervous when I say those long, big words. I'm not you.
Well, profusely is way longer than joviality. Anyway, okay, so you were sweating.
Yeah, and then this morning I go out to put an umbrella down, and that's damp and cold and shitty. Is it not?
It is, absolutely. I was at a golf course yesterday. That'll surprise no one. And I practiced for longer than a grown man should. I was out there for almost 3 hours, and I had to change my shirt. When I usually do take a second shirt because sometimes I like to stop and get groceries on the way, so I just have a t-shirt. What?
3 hours of practicing?
Yeah.
Here's when I go to a driving range.
Yes.
I'm reluctant to get the big bucket because about two thirds of the way through it, I'm thinking, "Fuck, I've had enough of this." Okay, I get the point. Whack, whack.
I get the point.
And you know, whatever that. No, but I'm just saying how people are different, different interests. And like, I'm looking at the bucket thinking, oh, I can't wait till this is done. And you go on for 3 hours. That's remarkable. It really is.
But it wasn't like I had a big bucket of balls and just went through them. I'm even tedious by other golfer standards. Like I have a tripod for my phone and I film myself. So I'll hit five balls. Dan, you'll love this. I film it, then I go sit in the cart for a second, and I look at seeing what I'm working on, and then I go back and I do it again. And so probably over the course, and I didn't hit balls for 3 hours. I hit balls for a couple hours, and I worked on my short game for an hour. So in that 2 hours, I probably didn't hit more than, I don't know, 40 or 50 balls maximum.
Dan, tell us about your tripod.
There it is. And we're back.
Did any of you guys get involved in any of the crazy rain that was happening on the weekend?
Well, how so? Like, I mean, I didn't get the rain. Like, my brother Steve, Edmonton Steve, has called me on Saturday. Was it Saturday that it happened? Thinking that,
was
that
one
we were
one of them.
Well, of them. I didn't get. I think it was Saturday afternoon. It rained pretty hard, but not the kind of rain in this climate where I live near the lake. It didn't really make that big an impression on me. But talking to you yesterday and talking to him, he said, or Lumbee said, that they heard that there was a tornado that turned over a train. Have you done your research?
That was in air. There was a near Cambridge. Okay. There was a tornado touchdown. The train part I didn't hear. I know it destroyed like a Home Hardware or something.
Oh, okay.
But it was very spotty. Because yesterday, we got some rain in the afternoon, nothing crazy, but I'm looking at the news this morning, and the foot of the 410, the off-ramp to Courtney Park, and then further south where 410 becomes 403, huge flooding. Like,
yeah, I saw that.
People had to be rescued. So that's not, what's that, 10 minutes from me, 12 minutes from me? So they had that, but again, more and more with this rain, we're learning about the infrastructure we have and how it can't handle this new world of weather that we have.
How about where you guys?
It's a bit frightening, isn't it?
How about where you guys are in Peterborough?
I don't know. I'm in there.
I'm talking to Dan.
Well, Peterborough. I don't think there was any issues with rainfall, but there was power issues on Saturday. They canceled the music fest. David Wilcox was playing. It's one of the three concerts. It was fantastic. That got canceled because they didn't have any power downtown for I don't know, whatever period of time.
Love David Wilcox. Saw him a lot in the bars when I was a teenager, and he was one of our early guests. Remember, Howard?
Yeah, came
on
into our studio.
Good guy.
I had a really nice conversation with Dan Duran yesterday, and I was wearing my earbuds because I like to, because, you know, I like to keep my hands free in case this, and, you know, I need to do something. And I must say, Dan Duran's voice on the phone yesterday, because I spoke to you, it was pretty early in the day, right?
Yeah.
It was so deep and rich that I've known you my entire life, but even I was thinking to myself, God damn it. This man's voice is so good. And again, I had my headphones on, and I was like, I could just listen to him babble on about whatever. I really wasn't even sure what you were saying, but man, you sounded good.
Well, I had been drinking a little bit the night before.
So had you?
Something to do with
that's what it was.
I was going to ask that question because I know he was at a wedding,
yeah,
and I was about to say, Dan, did you get hammered Saturday night? Because it does something. Even our voices, Howard, sometimes the more, well, not used so much anymore, maybe 9 years ago.
Yeah.
But
no, he
I know when I've been, if I've been drinking liquor and maybe there's a certain, you know, level, if I go beyond that, the next day I'm, for whatever reason.
Well, that's a good call because I spoke to Dan. He had just woken up after a wedding, which I said, who goes to a wedding for crying out loud? We're 100. But Dan was at a wedding, and so you did have morning after hammered guy voice.
Yeah, a little bit. I wasn't, you know, like hurting or anything, but I did have, you know, a deeper voice. Yeah, it was good. It was good times, actually.
So Dan, this wedding, open bar, free?
Open bar,
wow. Yeah, free. So what was your drink of choice when you didn't have to pay for it?
Well, I started out with there was some mixed fancy drink that they had going on. Tom Collins.
Actually. Oh, yeah.
Tommy Collins. Tommy,
yeah,
Tommy,
and then
Tommy
I moved Collins. Over when the festivities started at the dining area, got into a little bit of the wine, and then moved on to tequila for the evening.
Tequila. Yeah. How many tequilas would you have had?
In the course of the 4 hours, probably, probably four or five, somewhere in there.
Four or five. So really more like six or seven, because you're
somewhere in there,
because anytime somebody says four or five, what they mean is seven or eight.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Well, that explains a lot, because I've talked to you on the phone, off the phone. We were roommates for a while, so I've heard your morning voice, but this was extra, extra, super deep Dan Duran, and it was something else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were down in Niagara on the lake.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's a beautiful area. It's been so long since I've been down there. I was telling you yesterday. I had, you know, somehow it's escaped me how much the wine industry has grown up around there.
Yeah.
There's so many wineries. And just to show, we were quite, I can't remember the name of the Kurtz or something is where we were at. It was really close to the Wayne Gretzky vineyards. And there's Peller Estates. And just, it's a cluster of
all these. Yeah, it's massive over there.
It's like, it's more intense almost than Napa. And I've spent a little bit of time in Napa Valley as well, in California.
Well, I have as well.
I had a wine tour there once.
Something.
Well, I was surprised to hear you say that, because I have spent quite a bit of time in that area. There's a lot of golf around there, and I've been to Niagara on the Lake. And but it's, yeah, it was, and so you were at a wedding, and you were saying you can't remember the last time you went to a wedding.
I can't. I really can't place the last wedding I was at before that, but it's years.
So
it's a big wedding gap.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, to our age, it's like, you know, we're not going to anyone our age's wedding anymore.
No, you're going to nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
And I've got one in October. My niece is getting married, looking forward to. And again, but it's been a long time. It's probably been 10 years since I've been to one.
Yeah, same for me. That would be the last one I went to would have been one of my brother's children's wedding.
Dan, no wedding like this, the gift, did you, take a bread maker, a toaster, or was it a cash consideration?
It was more of a cash thing.
What was the
amount you guys settled on?
I don't know. It was Lisa's side of the family.
You were just going along as a freeloader.
That's right. So you ate the food, drank the tequila, and she paid for it.
It's a great gig.
Yeah.
It's a great gig.
Is it that, they say the gifts should cover the plate or whatever? The plate?
Like, is that
whatever
what they
that might be?
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, you know, like when Melanie got married, it was like, I don't know, 120 a plate or something. And then I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, that's pretty standard, Dan. That your gift, like if you go to somebody's wedding, you kind of look around. It's like, you know, you can't show up with a blender that costs $38 if it's like, you know, you're two people, or you got to figure it's at least a minimum 100 something per person,
right? So list price, then, right?
What do you mean list?
You can't see a blender at a garage sale, fix it up, shine it up and take it.
Never do that.
You would
you
do
wouldn't.
That.
How dare you?
Even if it looked retro and cool?
Yes.
But it was actually on sale.
The reason I called Dan in the first place was because Dan bought me, when Dan was my roommate again a couple of years ago for that winter. You know, Dan was perplexed by the fact that I don't eat a lot of toast. In fact, I hardly ever do. And so when I did the odd time, I would just toast it in the oven under the broiler. So Dan bought for the house that he was my roommate in a toaster. So I called Dan yesterday and said, hey, by the way, I was thinking about you on the weekend because I had occasion to make toast and how lucky I was that you had brought a toaster into my life.
And I really appreciate it. You dusted it off, and you ended up with some bread in the house somehow.
And then Dan and I had the ridiculous conversation with Dan. I said, Dan, you know that when you toast bread, it really does change the nature of it. It's quite something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's a treat.
It is a treat.
Especially when you get, do you like peanut butter, right?
I love it.
It starts to melt.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I eat peanut butter every day. Anyway, it was very welcome. It was a welcome. You made a difference in my life, Dan, and I appreciate it.
Finally, yeah. It was a long wait on that, but yeah.
No, appreciate.
Big lead time.
So you went to a wedding, and what we're going to do is this. When Dan kind of leaves us here in a couple minutes' time, I'm going to find out, and I haven't heard one word about it, what Fred did on his summer vacation.
Yes.
And it's going to be, it'll be like a mini episode of Aging with Energy. You know what I mean?
Road trip.
Freddie was on a road trip. Dan, so beside the, you know what I just realized? I'm going to get that music ready. There's a whole
thing. The road trip music?
No, the Aging with Energy music.
Oh, right. Okay, you got a theme song for that show, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Might as well slice this out and put it into that show. Why waste
this is good planning.
This is what we're going to do, Danny.
And you know what it is? It's a show within a show.
Thank you. Mm. It's a meta show.
Yes.
It's a meta. Exactly what we're doing.
And this is going to work because one of the observations I will make, and I will restate this once the show starts, as we age, we look at certain things in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And this road trip thing at our age, I'm not, you know, well, we'll talk about it.
So beside the wedding, Dan, you would you just do work on your trailer?
Did some work on the trailer.
You were painting at arrival. Oh, your son's coming. Fantastic. Yeah. My godson, Colton. And did you, you were working on the Theater Guild or something?
Yes, if you're interested, the Peterborough Theater Guild Facebook page has posted a picture of me doing a time lapse.
Amazing.
Painting one of the walls. One of our studios needed a coat of black paint on the back wall, and I was the guy who contributed.
That Facebook page will... It will set records today for visits.
Oh, did you hear Dan Duran's doing a time-lapse photo?
Time-lapse. Yes. And the other thing, is I've been watching Lisa, girlfriend Lisa, has been bringing monarch butterflies into the world, which she's fascinated by.
A butterfly doula,
exactly. So she has some milkweed out back, and somebody gave her an egg or whatever it is. And then she went and looked on, and then found nine more in her backyard.
Amazing.
Here. And then took it. So it's a really, really small. It's like a smaller than a speck of sand when it starts out, and it grows, and then it hatches and grows into a little tiny caterpillar and gets bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And then there's like an hour or two somewhere in there where they form a J. They kind of make a little chrysalis thing, and she's got nine.
So when they're born, because girlfriend Lisa is like their mother, do they attach themselves to Lisa? And you know,
she's got these little things hanging from her.
Yeah. Mm. And they say there isn't a God.
Yeah. What about your milkweed? Any that get any activity?
Hey, speaking of which, the back of my trailer faces Dan. You know, and behind my trailer, there's this milkweed that grows. And he never told me about the milkweed and the magic of the milkweed and how it attracts this and that. And it's good for the, you know.
For the monarch butterfly. Yeah, it's a thing.
Monarch butterfly. So one day, you know, I'm out there with my whippersnapper and I'm thinking, no, look at that stuff growing up against my trailer. So I just whacked the shit out of it. And he was quite upset with me, Howard. You know when he gets that sort of indignant sort of thing? Like,
was he upset? Like, was he speaking in a staccato manner? Or not quite that upset?
I said, why did I do what? Take the milkweed down. I said, what milkweed? I said, I thought those were just weeds, not milkweed. I don't give a shit. Anyway, he was upset. But I learned that day, don't touch the milkweed. And it's there. It's still there.
Mm-hmm. It's growing very well.
If you want to see someone be the opposite of jovial, do something that Dan Duran doesn't enjoy about the environment.
If I don't favor, yes.
Well,
you know, it's a fascinating, just this journey.
It's a fascinating journey. Please explain.
With the monarch butterfly. Yeah. And then I think they do one more round, and then commute. They commute to the south.
There's I can't believe we're still talking about the butterfly.
Yeah. Like that happens by, you know, like that's evolution. No, somebody had to.
Yeah, God does that.
I'm telling you. Yes. That's too intricate. Yeah.
Well, I've got to tell you one quick thing. I mean, I was busy during the vacation.
You made use of your vacation.
What's that?
You made use of your vacation.
Speaking of what? Yeah, anyway. The Howmans, I was busy, but I golfed, obviously. But I want to tell you about a day I spent. Just very quickly, I won't tell you about the whole day because you were mocking me for hitting so many golf balls. But last Thursday at around 8 a.m., a young fella that I've known since he was a baby showed up at my door.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you know him, Daniel Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
Fred's son, Danny, and I are buddies, golf buddies. Actually, I was one of the first people to ever hire your son. Many years ago as a cameraman.
Yes.
So I've known Danny. I always say this. I know Danny through you, but I also know Danny in a sort of as a buddy of mine and a guy I've worked with. And so So we spent the whole day that day golfing together. We go to the golf course, warmed up, hit balls for quite a while, then played 18 holes. Then we went back and hit balls some more.
Mm.
We drove there and back. I was just, it was a great, it was really one of the highlights of my vacation. I just had such a great time with him. We have so much fun. And he's such a good boy. And again, you know, I've known him as a kid, but now I know him, you know, he's a 39-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had, you know, it's a long time to spend, you know, all you know, driving there, hanging out, playing golf. And it was just a great day from beginning to end, and couldn't have enjoyed it more. And I know you know this about him, but, and I've said this before, and it's boring to you, I'm sure, but I got to tell you, he's just the sweetest person I know. One, you know, really one of my favorite people to hang out with. And, you know, the golf was fine. We had a good time. But, yeah, what a great character he is.
No, I talked to him afterwards, and he said how challenging that course is. And
oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say challenging the day was.
Good one, Dan.
Suck my milkweed.
No. He said how challenging the course was and how nervous he was in that situation and all that. Like, once he's on the course, hitting the ball around all those people and whatever. But
well, it is. It's a very challenging golf course.
Intimidating.
It is intimidating. And you know what? He did fine. That's right. I go on about what a great time we had, and he's like, "Yeah, it was a bit of a challenge with Howie." It was not, Dan.
I'm sure it wasn't. Plus, you're a really good teacher. I imagine that you did you help his game along, his game at all?
Oh, I'm sure.
Bring him up a bit.
You know, yeah, we a couple little things, but I didn't. I didn't want to spend the whole day doing that. Whenever he asked me, I'd tell him, but I gave him a couple little things. You know, toward the end, you know, when he sort of calmed down and, you know, relaxed a little bit, he hit the ball the last couple of holes. In fact, he parred. The second last hole we played is the hardest hole on that rotation because my course has three nines. And I said to him after he parred it, I said, "Dude, that was unbelievable, because not only did you make a nice par, but you made a par in one of the hardest holes we have out here." And so, you know, he's got lots of talent. But the golf aside, it was just... Pardon?
It's that sport. It's time. You got to play it a lot. You got to practice a lot.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know. He plays it more than you think. He's pretty.
I know.
He's after it, he man, which is what I love about him. He's like, he's chipping and stuff in his apartment. Anyway, it was a great time. And I guess I wanted to tell you that he, I just enjoy his company so much.
Well, that's lovely. And that makes a father proud.
Yeah, man. Anyways, Dan Duran. That was very funny. Dan will join us in about 20-ish, 25 minutes or so. Dan, come on back and do the news.
Right on.
It is Humble and Fred. We are recording this on the 19th of August, so the Kelsey's thing will be on the 25th. I'll tell you more about Kelsey's in a second, but first, here's the Fred Man.
Well, Tim Niblett is a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Another week. It will be another visit this week by Tim or Jay. I'm not quite sure, but hey, it doesn't matter. They're both so informative. Remember, if you have a portfolio, you're not sure it's performing the way it should, Tim or Jay will have a look and give you a sort of a state of the portfolio report, and you can take it from there. Come over to the Sherpa side or continue on with whoever you're with. Again, no strings attached, really, no sweat. They'll just have a look and give you a proper, fair assessment. The Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
You know, the Sherpa has been keeping us going. He's been a sponsor for a long time. And what we really also appreciate are the people that have sponsored us for quite a while and come back, like Kelsey's. It's our pleasure to welcome back Kelsey's to the program. The original Roadhouse has awesome deals. For instance, they love happy hours so much, Freddie, they celebrate it twice a day. Join them for $5 draft beer, wine, and mixed drinks, and $10 appies every day from 3 to 5 and 8 to close. Seriously, man. Must be legal drinking age, of course. Please enjoy responsibly. And, of course, another one of the great deals there are the wings, where wings first landed. At Kelsey's, stop by for half-price wings and $6 Coors Light every Thursday night. Get them sauced your way. There's never been a better time to wing it. And, of course, visit kelseys.ca for more contest details. And as we've said, on the 25th of September, in the evening, one of the rare times we've ever done this, we're going to record the program at Kelsey's, the roadhouse in Burlington that we were at in December. And I'll get an address for you tomorrow. It's the end of summer. Humble and Fred 13th anniversary podcast party. And if we can, we will do it on a patio. But we'd love you to all. And you made a really good point. If you were at Stonehooker, you're welcome to come back. If you couldn't make it, we'd love for you to show up on the 25th at Kelsey's. And all the details will be released very, very soon. If you want to join us, just send us an email, subject line, Kelsey's podcast party, some version of that, and we'll put you on the guest list.
Yep, looking forward to it. A nice way to cap off the summer. Is it not a nice way?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, getting back to Danny, so beside the fact that he was nervous, did he have a good time?
Oh, he had a great time.
Good.
Yeah, I talked to him like that evening. We caught up and he told me how much he enjoyed it. It was great. Loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird. You know, I mean, I have a unique thing for me because I can't, like, I've known him, you know, since he was 4 years old. And I was thinking about him, like, I, you know, my brother's kids, you know, live out in Calgary and Edmonton. I'm not really that close to them. I mean, I see them. They're sweet and everything. But, you know, Danny, like, almost like a nephew to me. Well, he is. I mean, you know, you and I are family and, you know, I've known him a long time. But hanging out with him all these years, and we do this golf thing once a year. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just kind of a unique experience for me. It's like, this is what it must be like having a nephew.
Yes. And I would say of all my close friends, you would probably see him more in a year than anyone. Although maybe Dan does up north and Buddy Doug, but you're right in there. You know what I mean?
And you know, I saw him a couple of weeks ago when I was up there, but it's like hanging out with you and me and Dan and Danny, and it's a group of people, but it's a whole different world when you spend, you know, 7 or 8 hours close proximity with somebody. And we just had, you know, man, he told me some stuff. I know some stuff. It's cool. it's quite something, your son. Anyway, are you ready?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, so this is the show within the show, and it can go as long or as short as you want, okay?
Yes, okay.
All right.
Got it.
So here we go. Welcome to another edition of Aging with Energy, the Old Guys Travel Show. As always, brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa and our good friends at the Chamber Plan.
Could you tell where my head was at when you found me?
it's like the height of laziness. But, you know,
I think it's brilliant, actually.
It all makes sense because, as I said to you when we first met this morning before the show, I said, listen, I want to hear about your trip, but I don't want to hear anything about it until we do the show.
Yeah. And this is perfect. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with this. My road trip to the East Coast, my almost whirlwind. Is whirlwind a word? Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was one of the concerns of Dan, by the way. Tell us your itinerary, and then I'll tell you what one of Dan's concerns were.
Well, Delisa, we left on a week ago Saturday, and we arrived home this Saturday. So in 7 days, we drove to Halifax and back, which was fine because Delisa loves road trips, probably more than I do. I did all the driving, and you don't get to spend a lot of time in each place. But, you know, in retrospect, you don't really need to on a trip like that. Maybe if you have little kids or something, and I can explain that.
Well, that was one of Dan's concerns.
Forward.
So I talked to Dan. Well, I talked to Dan yesterday about, I just wanted to make sure he knew that we were recording today. because we've done that a couple times, and I felt bad that we didn't let him know. And then he said, oh, no, I knew we were recording. I just got off the phone with Fred. He's home. I'm like, what? I thought Fred was going to... Originally, I thought you were going to be gone, and today you would be recording the show on the road somewhere.
You know, this is the aging with energy part of it. We're 68, me and my suite, and we have this restaurant wall that we hit, and there weren't really a lot of Airbnbs available for one-nighters through that tour we took. So... really, by Thursday, it was like, okay, what are we going to do here? Are we going to extend this thing, or are we going to map a plan to return and maybe stop off at a couple of places, which we did, mm-hmm. Quebec City.
Right.
But I'll start from the beginning. We left on the Saturday, and I drove to Sherbrooke, Quebec. Yeah, that was the first night.
How many hours is that? Because I'm very interested in this in terms of hours of driving a day.
That was about 7 hours, probably.
So not
the other side of the other side of Montreal. Yeah. And again, it was just a comfort inn, which was, you know, I looked on hotels.ca or Expedia looking for hotels as you go. And there was this Comfort Inn, and I drive by, and then I drive back, and then I noticed the sign, the Comfort Inn sign, is covered. And I thought, oh, is it some private company now or something? So I go in, and I said, and it looked fine. And I said, is this a Comfort Inn? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, why have you got the sign covered? She says, oh, the sign police were in, and it didn't conform.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't. It was weird, man. And it was covered, like, with this tarp or something.
So ridiculous.
Yeah, they had to cover it. Anyway, that was the first night. The next day, we get up, and we drove about 4.5 hours to Bangor, Maine, which was a disappointment. I thought, I don't know. You know, Stephen King lives there, and things I'd heard
was,
about.
Was Bangor, Bangor the disappointment, or Maine in general?
Well, Maine was a weird little town. You know, it's very red, Maine.
Maine, the state.
There. Yes. Maine is red. It's Trumpy country.
Is it really?
If you look at a political map, you know, it's all blue there, and then Maine, it sticks out red. When we left Quebec into Maine, I saw a sign. It said Trump, Pence 2020. It's the only sign I saw.
Mm-hmm.
But again, driving through Maine to Bangor, it's not, you know, the scenery is nice, but the houses and the trailers, it's a little depressing.
I want to get back to the Comfort Inn because of a conversation I had with Lumby yesterday as well, okay. Which is the cost of hotels.
I was going to get to that.
Okay, well, then let's save it, only mm-hmm. because, you know, Jeff and I were talking about the cost of hotels in general
mm-hmm.
have all risen. It's not just inflation. But I wanted, so you take your time then, we'll get to it, because I'm curious what kind of money you were paying.
Anyway, down through Maine, all the little towns you go to, it's a thing there where every other telephone pole or hydro pole has an American flag on it. And to the point of aggravation, because it's just over the top, like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, we
get it.
You love your
stupid
country.
I get to Bangor, Maine, really disappointed. Another hour, and I could have gone to Bar Harbor, Maine, which apparently is much nicer, although very, 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 very touristy.
Mm-hmm.
But as Delise says, aren't we tourists?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, good point. But I got the impression, if you've been to one of those towns, you've been to them all. You know that feeling when you become a little jaded as you're older? It's like, okay, I'm standing here, and this is nice, but I've been here a million times before. Maybe not this town, but a town like it, blah, blah, blah.
So this anyway. So you did 6 hours the first day.
Yes, seven.
This is all en route to Halifax. Okay.
So we go to Bangor, Maine, and we went down to the waterfront. We had a meal at the smokehouse thing, and it was cool. And there was a big concert downtown, some country band, and obviously we didn't stay for that. And then we got up the next day, and we headed for Shediac, New Brunswick.
How far is that?
That's another 4.5 hours.
Okay.
And this is the...
I've heard of that.
The lobster capital of the world, Shediac.
And by the way, just by my pop in for a question or two, was your roading terms of was that by design? You didn't want to drive too much per day.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because I relate to that. I that trip I took to North Carolina in April, that's the longest drive I've been on in years. I like that. I like the way you're parsing it out, because like 4 or 5 hours a day and then spend some time in a place.
Yeah.
You know, because you could have gotten to Halifax in like 2 days.
Oh, yeah. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Although I got home in 2 days. But again, that's part of the story. So going there, I looked at a thing and I thought 7, 4, 4 in 2.5 hours.
Nice.
Gets me to Halifax.
So you went to Shediac, the lobster?
Yes, I had a lobster early afternoon. You know, there's a beach there that we looked at, and a pier, and a lovely little downtown area. And we stayed in this grand old mansion, the Tate House, I think it was called. We stayed there for the evening, and it was lovely, and get up in the morning and had a leisurely breakfast and observed, you know, the town folk, and drove around the little streets and imagined what it's like to live in Shediac, New Brunswick.
How was the
coastal town?
How was the lobster?
It was okay. Lobster, Howard, you know, the I'm big on ROI, you know, return on investment, and it was all right. It was $50, and this place I went said,
$50 per person?
Yeah.
What, for all you can eat?
No. Like, it's like everything else. That, again, that's a sub-theme for this aging with energy. The cost of stuff is just...
So a lobster dinner was $50
in a restaurant,
in a place. So, and that included what? Some corn? I don't know. What's included with lobster?
It was a good little potato salad and some grilled vegetables, and it was fine.
$50, man.
And they served it cold. Yeah, they served it cold. Now, it was fresh out of the ocean that day. But they said when it's out of the ocean, they steam it quickly and then to deliver it to them. And the best way to enjoy the taste is cold. So I thought, oh, okay, I'll try that. I'd had it steamed before. And and it was good. It was absolutely delicious. But again, at $50, what you get, the meat involved and everything, that's the only one I had. It was like, okay, I've done that.
Yeah.
Not worth $50, sorry, when I'm at the lobster capital of the world. And a lobster costs $50. Like,
yeah, you'd think that some place that is known for lobster would have a... You know, I was just going to say, that's one of the... May I just sub-theme your sub-theme? Mm-hmm. That's one of those things I can't remember the last time I had. I almost never order it.
No, I know.
Just never eat it.
What's the
word
for it?
It's so overrated to me.
It's overrated and... like, I much prefer octopus, which I had as well, and I don't even know if it was from the area.
Yeah.
But again, lobster capital of the world, I got sucked in, I had it, Delise had a risotto with lobster and liked it. It was pretty
good. So you only had a couple more hours from Shediac to get to Halifax. And this is your first time in Halifax?
Yes.
I can just pop in and tell you, I think the, now I've done the drive from Halifax Airport to Cabot Cliffs, so I've driven through that province for like three and a half hours. I think, for me, New Brunswick and Halifax are just beautiful. The topography, whatever you want to call it, whatever that's called, is just beautiful there.
Well, I agree, and... When I came through Maine and crossed, and it's like so many places, like Maine sort of feels depressed. And the restaurant we went to, it, you know, I'm sorry, but the average American, especially in a red state, listen, this is awful. You can't stereotype. Yeah, stereotype. Yes, you can.
Yes,
you know
what I mean?
Just they don't look, the people don't, they're all overweight and they don't look healthy. Sorry, but that's the impression you get. And then you cross into over the border into Ontario or into New Brunswick, into Canada, and all of a sudden the structures look nice, the roads are better. You know what I mean?
No, I do.
The people look different.
Yeah,
the scenery was gorgeous up in New Brunswick from Maine up to Shediac. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And then from Shediac driving into Halifax again, gorgeous as you approach the ocean. And we found a place to stay. It was called the Moxie Hotel. For young people, a brand new hotel. But it's all skewed towards young people. Just cool this, cool that. But it was all right for a couple of nights. But again, we did the waterfront.
So what day are we, by the way? So because you said around, so you must have got there Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I'm looking at, like, you got there Tuesday?
Yes. I got to Halifax on Tuesday.
Can we talk about hotel prices now?
Sure.
I want to ask, let me see if I can guess. I'm going to guess, since you said it was a cool, you know, boutique-y cool hotel, I'm going to guess it was well north of $200 a night.
Yeah, I didn't have a hotel with tax under $275, $280.
Yeah.
Seven times seven.
No, I get it.
Even the most unlikely places.
Yeah.
Like a Comfort Inn where I stayed in Sherbrooke, you know, before COVID, might have been $129, $139. I'm telling you.
No,
it's crazy.
Well, that's
it's
the thing.
Crazy.
I wanted to, Jeff and I were talking about it because Lumbee's coming back to Canada in October for a visit, and he's staying downtown. I think I'm gonna say it's a Holiday Inn, mm-hmm. but he's staying at a Holiday Inn in downtown Toronto, and he was going on about what it was costing. I said, Jeff, that Holiday Inn, one suburb over, like here in Etobicoke, mm-hmm. is $100 less. But I told him, like I went into a Quality Inn. I think it was a Quality Inn in London, Ontario, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And it was $187. Like, there is no hotels for $120 anymore.
No.
So I paid like $225 for the night with taxes in. And, mm-hmm. I knew you were going to pay at least, I say, north of $200 wherever you're going. Now, I don't know, is that summertime or is that just the way things are now?
Well, I think it's summertime. And even in a place like Sherbrooke, they know that they're getting people in that area, you know, doing the East Coast thing. And not to be like a conspiracy guy, but it was funny. A couple of the hotels I went to, I would walk in, and the thing is, when you walk in and ask about a room, do you have any rooms? Let me check. Oh, yes, we have one here. It's $259. Okay. And you can't barter. And then that night, we go into the hotel, and there's very few cars in the parking lot. Like, it's weird. You know what I mean? Almost like they tell you, like, they're booked right up, and here's the... It's just weird.
But again, in downtown Halifax, or wherever you were,
yeah,
you know, it's a major Canadian city. You're going to pay a couple $150 a night to stay in a hotel. And by the way,
absolutely.
And by the way,
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, the Airbnb isn't much different. Airbnb's great, as I say to people. It's great for people if you're spending multiple nights someplace.
Yes.
Because, you know, I was looking
long
at some
stays.
Long stays, they give you a great discount. Like, I found some great prices in a place called Marbella, Spain, I've been looking at, where my per night price is like $120. But that's because I'm looking to stay someplace for 30 days. But in downtown Halifax, wherever you are in Canada in the summer, it's not going to be less than a couple $150. So quickly, tell us about Halifax.
So that was Tuesday. So Tuesday afternoon, Halifax Harbor and everything, had a lovely dinner, walked around. It was quite nice. Enjoyed that. Weather cooperated the whole time. Again, a lot of the restaurants right there on the harbor are very expensive. But again, same thing. Consider where I am. Eat it. And, you know, eat the price. And the dinner was fine. It was good. That's where I had octopus one night. And then the next day we get up and we drove down to Ludenburg. Or wherever it is, you know, where the boat, the Canadian boat, what do you call it? The, you know, with the sails.
The tall ship.
Whatever, the one on the dime, Blue Nose or whatever.
The Blue Nose, yes, sure.
It wasn't there, but lovely little town, Ludenburg, and I'm glad I went. But then there was other towns along the way that you could have gone to, like in Chester and Hubbard's and everything. But I didn't because I thought, I'm going to go there and I know it's just sort of, it's going to be this. You know what I mean? And at least I walked around. And again, I hate to sound jaded, but I've been a lot of places.
I know you have.
And it's like, I'm not going to stop in those towns because I know it's going to be like this. It's going to be a lot of old stuff in little shops with overpriced stuff and restaurants by the sea.
I don't listen. The way you're making it. Why did you even leave the house?
here's why.
Why?
No, and don't get me wrong.
I'm not
thoroughly enjoyed it. It was just my experience along the way. And, you know, prices are crazy. And then we drove up to Peggy's Cove. I had always wanted to go to Peggy's Cove. And I did that, and we get out of the car, and I got to walk on the rocks and stand right by the lighthouse. Howard, that's something I've always wanted to do. And the whole purpose of this trip was I wanted to go coast to coast in mainland Canada. I still, you know, Newfoundland's still, I've never been there, and it's a province that I haven't been to, and I want to get there one day. But it was important for me to get to Halifax and sort of be coast to coast in my own country.
I get it.
To me, that was the point. So we went to Peggy's Cove and then back to the harbor in Halifax and had another dinner, and it was lovely. And then that evening we had the discussion. So what do you want to do today, tomorrow? Stay another day in Halifax or start heading back and maybe go to like Quebec City for a day?
Yeah.
And that's what we decided to do. So I got in the car on Thursday, and I drove 9 hours.
That's a big trip, that one, yeah.
To Quebec City. But it was nice, because we stopped along the way, and the weather was good, and the scenery was perfect.
Yeah.
We got this cool place. Have you ever heard of Lévis, Quebec?
No.
Lévis, Quebec. Well, it's across the river from Quebec City.
Nice.
But it's still, the hotel was $250 a night, but it was nice. It was one of those four-point Sheratons or something. But it's cool because you drive like 5 or 6 minutes down to the water, you park your car for like $10, and you take a ferry over, a four-minute ferry ride, right to Old Town Quebec.
Nice.
For like $3 for a senior. So we went across there and spent a few hours. And again, I don't want to leave the wrong impression, but I've been to Quebec City before, and I've been to a lot of old European cities, and it was there, and it was like, wow, this is just like being in Europe.
No, cool. I know.
This I is just know. Like, oh, wow, nice, neat. But after like 2 or 3 hours, it's like,
then what else are you going to do? Exactly. You want to go back and watch TV? I've been to Quebec City, and I've lived in Quebec, and I'd never gone to Quebec City when I lived there, but I went there with a lady friend, and I was there for 2 or 3 days, and I thought the same thing. Oh, this is great. It's like a lot of places I've been. Quebec City was fine. And
it was hot and it was humid and the crowds were crazy. And here is another thing about these phones we have nowadays. Mm-hmm. Remember it used to be, if you were in a touristy spot, the odd time you'd have to stop while somebody took a picture in front of you?
Oh, yes.
Now, like, everybody at every moment's taking a picture, so it's almost like you're stopping. Picture, stopping, picture, stop. like it's unbelievable. So I just stopped caring.
Yeah, you just walk through pictures all the time now.
You just walk through pictures
now. Yeah, no one cares.
You used to sort of afford that.
Well, it was an etiquette thing before because people were just taking the one picture. But when they're taking thousands of pictures, it's okay to photobomb their pictures.
And because remember, you'd go on a vacation, and maybe if there was half a dozen of you or four or five of your buddies or whatever, one guy might have a camera.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and never get the film developed.
And it used to be such, I used to love this because it's such a nice thing to do for people. It used to be a way to sort of meet people when you're on, you know, in some place foreign. You could say, hey, you'd see them taking a picture, and then you say, let me take a picture, because the person taking the picture isn't in the picture. Mm-hmm. But now everybody's in everybody's pictures, and so I'm the same way. I just walk through it, and it doesn't matter.
And at one point I looked, we were up in, you know, elevated wherever we were, and I looked down one of the narrow streets, which are just beautiful. And there's a square there that reminds me of being in Italy or France, whatever. Fantastic, but crowded, like just tons of people, and it was humid. And again, Delise went into the odd store, and she said, you know, everything in this store is probably twice what I would pay somewhere else. And
I know, but the reason people do that, though, is so they can say, see this thing? I got this in Quebec City. I could have got it here, but I got it when I was at Quebec City. So that's Thursday, Friday, and you were back here by, how far from Quebec City is it? I don't know. What's the drive?
It's about 8 hours.
So you drove that all in one giant?
I did 9.
Right.
And then had a day off and then did 8.
That's not bad.
And the thing is, with Quebec City, after a few hours, we thought, oh, we'll probably stay into the early evening. We didn't. We took the ferry back, and I took Delise to a mall.
Nice.
So she could actually maybe, she did buy one little thing, and then get up Saturday morning and drove home. Yeah, here's my takeaways. That's a trip probably for people that are younger and haven't experienced as much as I have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or if you're going to do that trip, maybe go for 2 or 3 weeks, get an Airbnb and sort of hunker down and experience a lot of things. I'm not really into that idea because if I'm going to do that, I want it to be somewhere different than that.
Yeah, I get it. Well, that's what that, again, I never got to tell you what Dan's concern was. His concern was you weren't spending enough time in every area.
To do what?
I know. I don't know.
And you know what I am now at this age? I'm a guy, go to a beach or a place like Mexico and rent a place for a month and just hang out for a month.
I get it. That's what I want to do.
Because, again, old stuff is old stuff no matter where it is in the world. I'm sorry. If you're into architecture the way Dan Duran is, you can look at a building and see stuff that I would never see in a million years. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. we say, oh, yeah, another old building. Oh, another old church. Oh, look at the cobblestones. But my takeaway is I really enjoyed it because me and Delise were together for a week in the car, and we had some fun, and we had some laughs, and we had some neat dinners, and we can now have been to the east coast of Canada right to the very end, and it was wonderful. And speaking of my wife, it became a running, not a joke. You know how many people told her on that trip they loved her hair? It was unbelievable. Everywhere we went, oh, I love your hair. Oh, I love your hair. And Delise went, oh, thank you very much.
That's
and I said,
funny.
I can't wait to tell how you're not going to mention that on the show. Oh. I said, well, why wouldn't I?
Why wouldn't
Everywhere
you?
Everywhere we go, people are saying they love your hair.
And the fact is, you could mention it on the show, and she'd never hear it.
She'd never hear it. But it was fine. Like, we'd go into several places. We just go to pee. I mean, women would walk right up to her and say, oh, I love your hair. I love your hair. Even the last morning we were there, we're in this cafe in Lévis, Quebec, and this woman comes right up to her, and a woman with purple hair actually
nice.
And said, oh, I love your hair. In French, like, and it was, it was sweet. But, I'm glad I did it. I don't need to do it again. The driving thing, it's more a younger man's sport. And, it was good. It was sweet.
Well, that's a great one. That's where we're going to end it. There you have it. Another episode of the Old Guys Travel Show. We call it Aging with Energy. Brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa and the Chamber Plan. You went to hell and back just to find peace. Man, I thought I had everything. I was lonely. Now you're my everything. So there you go. A little show within a show. How about that, kids?
Show within a show. Oh, see how the professionals do it.
Yeah, man.
This is how the professionals do it.
That might be the longest episode we've ever done of that.
Uh-huh.
I like Halifax. Again, I've only been there a couple times. When I was a kid in my 20s, yeah. I performed at a Yuck Yucks in Halifax. And I've been through a couple times. I also have been to every province, mainland, but I haven't been to Newfoundland. And I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like a lot of money. And I should
go. It is a lot of money.
And
it adds up. Yeah. $275 bucks a night for hotels times 7. And I didn't want to stretch that into 9, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then wherever you go to eat now, it's just like crazy. And, you know, in Halifax, it's like, I think a couple of places, 20% was the option for the tip. Of course, I customized it.
Oh, custom. And what would you give them?
15. Sorry. Yeah. It's just... And here's the thing. The prices are outrageous. You look around and you think, how do people do this? But people are doing it. It was crowded. People are doing it.
Yeah, they are. There's just an amount of money that things cost nowadays. You know, I mean, I live here in the city, so I'm, you know, I go out for dinner around me mm-hmm. and it's, you know, I tell you what is one of the cheapest things you can eat going out for dinner, because I do it a lot. Mm-hmm. But one of the cheapest, I went out with, I went out for dinner on Friday night at a place in the city, like, you know, right in the, you know, like the junction.
Mm-hmm.
So like Dundas and whatever, Bloor, and had pho. Vietnamese, that a big and like a big bowl of all that food, you know, beef and meat, little meat, beef balls and all that vermicelli noodles. Two people. Yes, I was with another person. The whole thing just cost $30.
Yeah,
like more food than I like, because my friend couldn't finish hers. I did, of course. I finished mine because I'm a fucking pig. And so we got a little appetizer of those cool spring rolls, which I like, and they bring it with the hoisin sauce. So we had that. Now, no alcohol, so I guess that was part of it. But and more food. I was fully full for $30, taxes in. So that's one of the cheapest things you can eat.
Right. But to reiterate, you learn about yourself through these things. Like, we did the East Coast when the about 20 years ago when the kids were a lot younger. We never got to Halifax. We did PEI and up Cape Breton Island and then came home. It was different when we were the kids. And again, the prices at the time, I remember vividly, were sort of reasonable. It was like, oh, a bit expensive, but okay. That's totally changed now. And again, not that I wanted... Maybe I'm not leaving the right impression. I'm glad I went. It was too much money for what you get and what you do. It is. But it was fun to be just me and Delise in that environment for a week. And
I bet it was. Fun. And but it was. Put it in this perspective, though. Like 20 years ago, I mean, I'm sure if we went and, we went, you know, in 2004 hotel prices, they would be basically what they are now. They, I mean, not in, terms of dollars to dollars. So it's just in that mindset. Yeah. Like, I'll guarantee you that 20 years ago, it wasn't $75 a night.
No. I just wonder about the ratios in recent times. But, you know, I can't argue that because I don't know.
So 20 years ago, you were 48 years old. So a 48-year-old guy out there on a family vacation with his family, with his kids, and you know, there was probably... You like you just said, it seemed a little expensive, but it was more reasonable. Well, but in dollars to dollars, it was probably very similar. It's just that now, because we lived through the $80 hotel, now everything that's $280 just seems that's more good. Outrageous. Let's move on here, though. We got some sponsorships to take care of. Let me begin by talking about this company that supports us. And, of course, I'm talking about Boron One. As we've mentioned, there's lots of news. If you go to the news section of boron1.com, you'll see a headline about advancing a licensing process. We don't even know what that means, but it sounds like progress. And that means, who knows, good investment for you? Well, Fred and I can't make any claims, but maybe get your Sherpa to look at it, or get our Sherpa to take a look at this company that is going to bring boron out of the earth. Sometime in the next couple of years. So who knows? Maybe it is a good investment. Have a look and find out what exactly boron does and how rare it is for a company to turn a boron mining play. One in a thousand junior mining companies ever gets to this point, as we've mentioned. So have a look at Boron One. And of course, the website's easy to remember. It's boron1.com.
Hey, you may have noticed that the NFL preseason has started. Our Buffalo Bills beat Pittsburgh, I think, 9-3 on Saturday night. That's a game that, you know, you didn't miss much if you didn't see it. Anyway, early lines in. Guess who is favored to win the Super Bowl? How about that?
The beloved Buffalo Bills?
No.
What?
No, they're about 4 or 5 on the list. Kansas City, again. favored to win the Super Bowl.
You know what? Here's why I was distracted. You finish what you're doing, I'll tell you why I was distracted.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Kansas City. We'll get deeper into the numbers as we draw closer to the regular season. Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker, a casino player, Bodog, your number one source of online gambling entertainment, from their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994.
While you were doing your thing there, I was creating a new Gmail label for Podcast Party, because we've got our very first entry into Kelsey's 13th anniversary end of summer extravaganza, is what Ed Lovkin says. He says, "Hey guys, we had so much fun at the last one. We'd love to come to this one. Is it possible for three tickets?" Yes, it is.
Available through Ticketmaster. That's a joke.
Is it really? There you have it. Yeah, so that's that. That's our very first entry. Thank you, Ed Lovkin. Ed was one of the people there. There were so many young. There was new Humble and Fred listeners, old Humble and Fred listeners.
And I listen.
You listen.
That Freddie Ball, you know, has been such a great supporter of this show over the years.
Yes.
He drove 2 hours there, stayed for an hour and a half, and drove two hours home. Sweet Nancy couldn't come with him, but he just wanted to be there to lend his support, as usual, and really appreciate it, you know?
No, he's one of a kind, and we did talk a little bit, just briefly. I didn't get a chance to spend much time because I was going table to table, sharing the jovialities with our listeners. But I did talk to him briefly, and I think you and I were talking to him about creating, because somebody was there with the very first Humble and Fred T-shirt from the podcast era.
Yes.
Somebody had that shirt. I think it was Schwarmer's Kid.
Yes.
And Fred Ball had done that shirt. It even had the original Steve Martell. Steve Martell! Mm-hmm. Steve Martell's sponsor on it.
Yeah, even, like, look at that. I mean, Shawarma, you know, we've, what? What's Shawarma, back late 90s? Pushing
Shawarma, yeah, some, yeah, he was there, I think he was there prior to the number one in 97. So, in that area, yeah.
But you look at that, and then we stopped working with him, I guess, in 2003. But never let go of that friendship, you know? Always stay in touch. And there he was, kissing us. He kissed
me. He did, he did. He kissed me, too.
Yeah.
He's a beautiful... And he was there with... Pardon me?
He tells us he loves us.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a beautiful boy. At one point, his son Ryan's there, and he goes, "See these two guys? These two guys are why you have everything you have." That's what he said to
him. I know.
And it was like, oh, Shawarma, come on now, buddy. You know.
But it was very, very sweet. Shawarma was there. Our friend Jamie Watson was there, who does all the Humble and Fred, the imaging on the beer. Humble and Fred, they are very interesting. That guy, Earl Veal, was there. Another guy that you... Listen, I've worked with him for... I knew him. I've known him 35 years. You've known him 10 years more than that.
And my brother-in-law, Clyde. Who comes to all the events. He drove in from Cambridge and enjoyed himself. Yeah. All good.
Well, excellent. And we're looking forward to more of the same. I want to switch gears here a little bit, because there was a couple things, and you know, there's a lot of Trump stuff. Maybe we won't get to it today, because today is kind of like a palate cleanser for us. We haven't seen each other. We're just kind of catching up. Although I do have a category. If we get to it, stupidest things Trump said while we were away. And I know it's a long list. But that's something I wanted to wait for. Maybe Dan will be, when Dan comes back. Something happened in radio. I had a discussion about it yesterday, and I wanted to get your take on it. It's just sort of one of those stories that, you know, we hear more and more about the business of radio, the business we were in for so long. and how it's been in decline for a very long time, even though they don't want to admit it. But now it's hard for them not to. You know, they like signals in Canada, just to give some context to the listeners. In America, you know, broadcast licenses aren't as hard to come by as they are here. That's why in the States, long before there were multiple, you know, let me put it this way. A city the size of Toronto in America would have three times as many radio stations as we do. And part of what, you know, the CRTC has done is made these signals very, very valuable. So here's the point I'm getting to. A radio station in Hamilton, they didn't sell it. They didn't change formats. They just turned it off. And the station I'm talking about is CHML. If you don't know, it would be like CFRB. A few people out west, 630 Ched in Edmonton, they did the same thing. NW in Vancouver, another legacy heritage radio station. They didn't even sell it. They just turned it off.
Yeah, I would love to... the powers that be aren't saying a lot. I would love to sit down with one of the people that made that decision and say, how could it come to this? Because two other radio stations owned by Chum, this is Chorus Entertainment, by the way, which is just in dismal shape right now. I think the stock's worth like 10 cents or something right now. Chum sold to 820, the one we were on, the funny station.
Yeah.
And 1150 was an oldie station. They sold it to, I think, ethnic broadcasters, right? They were actually able to unload the stations on to people that would use it for different reasons. This CHML, that's a pretty good signal. It's like 900 CHML. And again, this long storied history in Hamilton and really came with a warning to just shut it off is just odd to me.
Well, that's like, what I was saying to Jeff. I was talking about this with Lumbee. I've had quite a conversation with Jeff yesterday, but this came up because he worked in Hamilton. That was the sister station of Y108, the radio station, or Y95, where he worked. I just couldn't get my head around. And I did say this, what you call the powers of the... I said, you know, whoever's doing the finances or the financials for Chorus, they've done the math.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's, but how did they arrive at the equation where it was cheaper just to shut it off, just to go, like, Dan, you know what we're talking about? Like that signal, my whole point about the CRTC and the number of radio stations was in order to buy a radio signal in Canada, it's very expensive, or it was. Couldn't they find, wasn't it, how did they not have somebody that wanted to buy that signal? They just turned it off. That's the thing about radio that is so much different now. It used to be, okay, you change formats, you don't want to operate it anymore. I get that. But to turn it off completely is kind of weird.
I agree with you. The one thing that, you know, when you, I don't know if it's been a while since you've moved, but when you move, you get to the last part of the move and then just, you know, just to get it all done, I'll throw that away or whatever. Like stuff that was valuable to you at the beginning of things. Just get rid of it, right?
Yeah.
Any way I can. It's either a dumpster or, you know, just put it, leave it by the side of the road or whatever. Because there's a lot of movement in Chorus Global, that whole thing right now, is that maybe they got to the point where just like, let's just, you know, we've got too much stuff on our plates. We can't really deal with it. Just shut it down.
Yeah.
We'll cut our losses right now. We won't worry about selling it right now.
And I think it's safe to say if they could have sold it, they would have sold it. So that sort of tells us probably they couldn't sell it, or they set it at a price maybe that is unreasonable. And again, they still own it. So I guess down the road, they can still sell it. They've just literally shut it off to save money now. And how desperate is that?
So what does the CRTC say about that, though? Because they've been,
CRTC knows what to do nowadays.
Given this license. And again, to get a license, it's quite an arduous task. It's not like you can apply online. So they must have something to say. This is a heritage radio station. Your company owns this signal to serve the community of Hamilton.
It's gone. And not only that, prior to shutting down, a lot of their programming had started to be simulcast out of Toronto at 640, Global News 640. And you just have to wonder about that station because it virtually has no listeners and it's expensive. You know, John Oakley is still there and... You know, I don't know.
Our friend Kelly's still talk radio in general is a very expensive proposition. And you know what, Fred? They could have saved a lot of money there at 640 if they just turned it into the Humble and Fred radio station.
No, I know.
And we gave them an offer, Dan. We said
years ago,
call this Humble and Fred 640 and let us take it over, and we would have done something with it.
Uh-huh. Well, listen, you got to get creative nowadays.
Visionaries. I mean,
and listen, the sister station, the brother station, whatever, in Hamilton there is Y108, was Y95, where Lumbee worked, and Lori Love, our buddy Darren's wife, Lori Love, who became the, you know, the king slash queen of Niagara Radio before she retired. That station, I bet you if that was put up for sale, being an FM signal, it would sell. Which leads me to another... You know, nowadays with streaming radio stations, if you stream a radio station, it doesn't matter whether it's AM or FM, it has the same fidelity, the same quality.
Yeah.
And I'm just surprised that even though it was an AM station, so many people now, any new car now has Apple Play, any of the stuff where it comes right up on the dash and you just stream it. You don't listen to a hissing, popping AM signal anymore, generally.
But I'll tell you what.
Especially in the GTA.
From what I understand, I know from my Tesla, but... I'm assuming it's the same for all electric vehicles. They do not have AM. They don't have AM radio as an option. You can still stream it, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But it's more so beyond the fact that they couldn't sell it or didn't sell it or they just turned off the signal, which I thought was weird. It's just, you know, back to the idea, we're about to have been doing this thing for 13 years. Even you and I, the visionaries that we are, could not have predicted the demise of terrestrial radio the way it's gone in such a 13-year span. Because as we've said to people, anyone that's asked us, when we first started, part of our, you know, in our minds, whether we talked about it much or not, was like, oh, maybe this will get us a radio job. But what it did get us was a job... that didn't need radio, weirdly enough. And even though our podcast might not be the same format as a lot of podcasts, you know, and the way we do it is more like a radio show, but it is weirdly how fast it all just kind of went away.
And the narrative you're still hearing, oh, no, you know, people are still, 80% of our people are still tuning into the radio. And, oh, okay, great. Unfortunately, those who sponsor... previously sponsored radio shows or radio stations are now spending elsewhere. So their dilemma is, even if they're still getting the same amount of ears, they're not getting nearly the revenue because it's being split up to platforms like this. So who knows what the future is? I'm glad I'm not in that situation because what's the answer? I don't know what the answer is.
No, that's a good point. It's not like we're sitting here yammering about it with like, jokes aside, our solution a few years ago was to turn that radio station into a specialty channel like Howard 101 or Howard 100 on Sirius. That was our idea. We do the morning show and then it's Humble and Fred stuff, you know, the rest of the day. And it's, you know, would have drastically cut their costs. But speaking of revenue, Fred, let's talk a little bit about the people that help supply revenue to this little juggernaut, and that might be who do you got?
The Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan Hour.
Yes,
Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Rod Johnson, you know, our rep through the Chambers plan, he was at the party there on at Stonehooker there a week ago Wednesday, and great to see him. He's a fine guy, you know. He's a very pleasant man. Have you noticed?
You know, I have noticed. You know, that's the thing is, I get to see Rod. At this annual thing I host for the Tanner Group. Every time you see Rod, that's the takeaway. He's a very pleasant man.
Very pleasant. Anyway, good to see him. And again, if you have a small business and, you know, you've thought about a benefits plan package for your people, you know, you can talk to him. It's fantastic. It works for small business brilliantly. Works for Humble and Fred. Go to chamberplan.ca today. Get a free quote. you know, you can put in the parameters of your business and what you're looking for exactly. You'll get a price and take it from there. You'll be pleasantly surprised. And please know that ongoing, they do a great job of holding the line on premiums. You know, this is a nonprofit, and they know small business needs that security of prices. So, yeah, they deliver year after year after year. Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business.
Now, normally this subject with you is, you know, off limits, but I, during the extended version of Aging with Energy, I just wonder, you know, sometimes you go on a road trip, you know, and you know, you're driving in a hot car all day and then staying in hotel rooms and, you know, that type of thing. And I was wondering if, you know, there was any, you know, G on G love, you know, grandparent on grandparent, you know.
Oh, it was sordid. It was sordid.
I mean, that's, I really don't
we
like
did
to,
things we have never done before. Oh, it was crazy. Right.
I mean, you know, as soon as I asked that question, sordid. Dan, I regret it. Thinking about that sweet woman.
I'll give you, as soon as you hit 65, Howie, I'll give you my playbook.
Oh, I can't wait.
La-la.
I can't wait. What? I just can't wait. Right. Let me see. Like, oh, here we go. Here's a preview. Here we go. Page one. No. Oh, I see. Begging. Lots of page begging.
Page one. Stop snoring.
Speaking of eroticism, Dan, I have a joke I picked out for you.
Oh, fantastic. I can't wait for another one of these.
Dan, what's the difference between a red lentil and a chickpea?
I don't know, Howard. What's the difference between a red lentil and a chickpea?
I've never had a red lentil on my face before.
Oh.
Ah, Danny. Dan. Okay. Daniel.
Yeah.
That's a,
that's a waterworks joke, eh? A waterworks joke.
See, Dan.
Howie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's on page two of the handbook.
Now, here's to a fella named Dan Duran, a hell of a guy with a hella big wang, the quintessential anchor man. His voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchor man, comes. As for credentials, he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care. And his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, live from Lisa's place in the matrimonial dining area. It's movie anchor and television series regular Dan Duran, Daniel J. Giebert Duran III.
Okay, the DNC convention starts today. You can look at the super blue moon tonight, but let's go to the Milton Sports Center. This is where a woman armed with poop-shaped chocolate bars released them into a public pool. Yes, public pool poops, which, of course, cleared the pool. This has happened more than once. Police say that on several occasions between August 1st and August 12th, a woman was allegedly contaminating the pools with poop and chocolate bars. Mm. Of course, it's hard to know which was a fake feces or a real feces, but it shut the whole pool down and cost the town a fair bit of money. So the 33-year-old woman was arrested and charged, and now she'll have poop on her record.
Mm.
You know, that's another, you know, forget about sitting down and talking to those radio people who made that decision about CHML. Like, I'd like to talk to her. Is this just like super prank time? Like, because you've heard the old thing, the old Henry in the pool, right?
Well, I was in, it was in that Bill Murray movie. I can't remember the movie. Yeah. One of those movies, yeah.
Yeah. And, but that would be unsettling, would it not?
Yeah.
To be in the pool, whether it's, you know, real feces, I mean, ugh. But even an O'Henry, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, what is
right
the point
away?
Of it? What's your motivation? Where
to
what
freak
do you
out.
Yeah, what, yeah, freak everybody out. Okay, you did. Good.
Was it a dare? Did somebody pay her to do it?
Stupid.
Well, doing it once is one thing, but if you go back again and again, there must be some, you know, she
well,
gets a
Dan, it's
of,
mental illness. This is what we're dealing with. Dan, we're dealing with mental illness.
Of course we are.
I mean, you do it once, maybe on a dare, or you're just trying to prank them, but if you keep doing it, and this is your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid. I know Fred already talked. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say he mentioned the DNC, too. I just want to make one point on that, because all last week I'm thinking that, you know, at the RNC, they had like Hulk Hogan, which Greenwood and that fucking Kid asshole. What's Kid Rock, that asshole. And I'm thinking, boy, how are they going to reply the DNC?
That's
because,
right.
You know, it's for normal people. They'll probably have a cavalcade of fucking talent. But apparently they're not, eh? They're not. Because, you know, the sort of Hollywood and entertainment elites, there's that sort of connection to the Democratic Party. And
yeah.
They want to back off that and just let it be about the party and not the entertainment.
But scheduled to appear is a lot of the old guard. Hillary Clinton, which I think is a mistake. Bill Clinton, too old. Obama, fine. A few others of that ilk. I think what they, because they kind of missed, I mean, again, they're doing it for a reason. They're not stupid. There was a thing I saw online that maybe they should have gotten some of the younger guys, Josh Shapiro, Buttigieg, whatever, a few of those people. But again, I think what they're trying to do, to your point, is to try and make it seem a little bit more middle America, a little bit less kind of fringy, sort of radical left. I'm excited. I'll be watching some of it.
That Billy Clinton, he can deliver a speech, though. You know,
but
probably
but
still can.
The lineup of speakers are definitely on the older side of the Democrat Party, which
did you see who they announced yesterday? Very, very interesting.
How interesting.
Republican Adam Kinzinger is going to speak, and I thought, there's some balls. Because, that can almost be life-threatening.
Oh, yeah.
To do something like that with that wacky crowd that
follows. And for people who don't know, he's a Republican. He was a senator. He didn't get reelected because he was on the committee, the January 6th committee.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a vocal anti-Trumper. I also thought it would be equally interesting if they had, what's her name, Liz Cheney.
That came up, Howard, but she declined because she... Listen, and you know what? You've got to respect this, too. She hates Trump, but she cannot live with Democratic policies. And that's what she says. She couldn't go because she disagrees with the politics.
Yeah.
She hates Trump.
That's fine.
But as a Republican, she can't deal with the... Yeah.
Well, anyway, without getting too deep into it today, because we're almost done the show. We've been Trump-free today. Tomorrow, though, Dan, I have a bit I call Stupidest Things Trump Said... While we were away. And it's quite a long list, but I do have a couple of little bits of audio that'll be fun.
So it's a 4-hour show tomorrow.
Tomorrow's a very long show. Very funny. I know you already talked about the Bodog, but let's listen to see what Bodog has to say for themselves.
When the puck drops, it's time to play. It's easy to find your next favorite game at Bodog.net. Check out the latest sports odds and get free tips to help you score this hockey season. Visit Bodog.net today. Hashtag make a play.
Okay, so that's today's show. Thank you very much, everybody. Don't forget Kelsey's Humble and Fred end of summer 13th anniversary podcast party. We'd love to have you with us on the 25th of September as we kind of say goodbye to summer. I guess by the 25th, though, summer will be 3 or 4 days in the past, because fall is coming, Dan. Fall is coming.
Fall is coming, yes. Yeah.
Season of death.
Is coming, and yeah. All these things are coming.
Yeah.
Coming.
There's some good TV on the way, actually. There's some, I got a couple of notifications from my Netflix, and I guess Bill Brio won't be with us until next month. Tomorrow on the program, it's Jeff Lumby. That'll be fun, because I had a good catch-up with him yesterday, and he's got lots of funny stories. Wednesday, Tony Clement will be here, and that we can talk about the DNC and what's going on. And I don't want to start this, just, because one of the stupidest things was how much better Trump thinks, how much better looking Trump thinks he is than Kamala Harris, and we'll have that audio for you tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Something. Something.
It's like the greatest show on... By the way, forget the new TV. The greatest show is this last season of The Americans is just the best. Wow. All right, Dan Duran.
He thinks he's actually thinking. Okay, never mind.
No, tomorrow I will get. I will play audio. Mm-hmm. The man. This is not a rumor. That bloated fucking basketball with a face.
Wow.
Yeah. I've got the audio.
There's a lot of things. I didn't hear that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, why, Dan? Because there's too many things.
There's too much. The list, yeah.
The list is too long.
You just can't do
it. All right. Thanks, everybody.
This episode of Humble and Fred was brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Boro One.
Dan, stop with all the joviality.
And Kelsey's Original Roadhouse. For comments and contests, we read all of our emails, humbleandfred@humbleandfredradio.com. Tell us what you think, humbleandfred@humbleandfredradio.com. Something you can do to help us out, of course, subscribe to the podcast, share an episode, tell people about us. For Humble and Fred, from the Ibrahim Shum Zoom Theater, I'm Dan Duran. And remember, mistakes are part of perfection. So enjoy your joviality and every goddamn day. Just clap your hands. Where's that?